Welcome to Super Tatis for Parshas Va'eschanan. Today's shiur is dedicated for the Rufuah Shleima of Moshe ben Rachelmina, of Eliana Malka bas Basi Rochel, and Yosef David ben Rachel Bela. It is 1 o'clock, so we'll begin. I have the opportunity to ask Rabbi Eichenstein, the Zita Trevor Rebbe in Chicago, was recently nifter, and I asked one of his Talmidim for some stories to share some of his zichronos and stories and whatnot, and he gave me some, Rabbi Ben Sion Rand gave me some beautiful stories that I wanted to share. So I'm going to do three of those today, and there's really more that could trickle over into another session as well. But I'll start with these. The first one is that with respect to the Hanachas Tefillin of all of Rabbi Rand's children, Rabbi Eichenstein was there. But one of the sons remembered specifically kind of like the schmooze that he got when he put on Tefillin. So the halacha is, this is what he said, basically. The halacha is that you don't speak with tefillin on. I mean, the idea is you don't want to speak sichas chulin. You don't want to speak profane speech, not like profanity, but non-Torah. It's supposed to be that Torah Hashem bepicha. So Rabbi Eichenstein said, look, I mean, that's really what I should be striving for, but I'm a Rav, and people talk to me all the time. They talk to me about all kinds of things. I can't really keep to that at this point. But one thing he said he could do is that he should change the tzura, the nature and the manner of the sichas chulin, to try to lift it up to a higher level. When he had the tefillin on, he said he has to elevate his speech as well. And although that sounds like a yerid, it actually turned into an aliyah. He says when he takes his tefillin off, it elevates his sichas chulin for the rest of the day. So this kind of trades you how to talk for all of your life. So there is a concept, he didn't say this, but I think that this is consistent with what he's saying. There's a concept called the Yerida Litzorech Aliyah. Sometimes we have to kind of lower a standard for a certain instance to be able to grow and to be able to move in the right direction. And this is a great example of saying, okay, this sounds like it's a downgrade, but really we can turn this into an upgrade. It's very instructive. Second one, this story was extraordinarily touching to me, is that, in the fledgling days or earlier days of Rabbi Eichenstein's shul, the Chicago Center of Torah and Chesed and everything else, I think he would ask, boys returning from yeshiva to speak on Yontif in between Mincha and Maariv. Like that's not an uncommon practice to be done in between Mincha and Maariv on Yontif. And one of Rabbi Rand's children was asked to speak, and the boy got up and he gave his Shtikl Torah. That was very nice. And Rabbi Eichenstein, he spoke for something like 20 minutes or whatnot. Rabbi Eichenstein came to listen, and he said he was really mesmerized mostly by the face of his father, meaning Rabbi Rand. But Rabbi Eichenstein came up after Rabbi Rand's son was done giving the shtickle, and the Rav was there and he was watching intently, and he came up to him, and at the end he said, look, usually the practice is, historically, I always like to give ha'ara, ask a question, give a compliment to everything, but the truth is, my hearing is getting worse and worse. And I can't really hear, I couldn't hear what you said. I love to follow up, but I just couldn't hear it. He said, but I came because I wanted to show you how much I was machshiv, what you were doing, and also show you the hakaras atov, the thankfulness. If somebody does you a tova, you have to be, respectful like this. So it's a very nice idea that Rabbi Eichenstein took, 20 minutes of his time to do something which was facially respectful and expressing hakaras atov, even though the substantive element of it was pretty insignificant, but it's obviously a lesson of kind of midos. A third one that is very nice is that Rabbi Rand mentioned that Rabbi Eichenstein would tend when he would give something over, there would always be people kind of in the back of the shul visiting or whatnot, and when he was leaving the shul, he would make it a hanhaga to go and visit and say hello to whoever was new or whatever, to stop for a moment, to introduce himself and whatnot. And that indeed was the practice he did with me once when I davened in a shul, which was obviously very welcoming and lovely. And Rabbi Eichenstein tried to inculcate that in his Talmidim as well, and told Rabbi Rand, listen, you know, if you see somebody who's kind of new to a circumstance, go over, say Shalom Aleichem, ask them how they're doing. It doesn't take long, but it really makes a big difference. Rabbi Rand said that the payrus from this, came to him in a very material way. He once saw somebody in the Skokie Yeshiva library who was voraciously sorting through books in Sfarim, and he just, even though he said it wasn't like his nature, he went up and he said Shalom Aleichem, introduced himself. He said, oh, it's so nice to, meet somebody, have somebody say hello. I'm looking, it was a man from Highland Park, was, one of the suburbs. He said, I'm really looking for truth, trying to understand things. And Rabbi Rand, made friends with him. He gave him his telephone number. He said, I'm busy for a couple of weeks, but please call me after this date. I'd love to set up a time to study with you. And that became the fruits of a 25-year plus chavrusa, which continues to this day. And not only that, but it introduced this man to the Beis Medrash of the Skokie Yeshiva and some of the other great Talmidei Chachamim that were there. And this was all the fruits of Rabbi Eichenstein's Eitzah to just go up to somebody. So often we get very, very tunnel visioned in our vision for what we're supposed to be doing, and laser focused on that, which is a wonderful mita, but at the same time we need to be panoramic enough to notice that there are other people around as well, and to notice them and to be machshavim. So onto the Divrei Torah. I love this Meshech Chochma with all of my heart, on the idea we're supposed to love the Ribbono Shel Olam b'chol ma'odecha. B'chol ma'odecha means roughly translated with all your stuff. Chazal say either it's all of your money or every midah Hashem gives you havi moda lecha ma'od ma'od, but Meir Simcha takes it in a different direction. He says ma'od really means a point of distinction, a yitarum. It's something which you're more than anything else. And what is really the defining element of humanity is what makes us more than animals. And he says that unlike animals, humans, at least refined humans, are able to defer a present benefit for a future good, and to endure a present pain for a future good. Meaning to say, an animal is very, very hard to motivate to walk through the snow in order to get a reward at the end of that snow, because it is not sure that there really is a reward at the end of that snow. It can't have an abstract way of thinking. In fact, animals don't always have object permanence even. So if you put a box over a ball, they're going to think that the ball disappeared. Or when an owner leaves, it's going to cry thinking that its owner, a dog is going to think that its owner completely abandoned them. Not so for a human. A developed human is supposed to be able to say, I'm going to go out in the cold so I can listen to my, go ask my Rebbe Yeshayla. I'm able to, make myself uncomfortable to wake up this morning and to drink some coffee to make sure I get to my chavrusa and all of these other things, because that is really the defining element of who we are. And that is one of the three amudim of Avas Hashem. Number two, so on the concept of Avas Hashem, so we're supposed to show that our love, and it says we're not supposed to be doing things because of Svar or anything else, but we're supposed to do things out of just the simple fact that we love the Ribbono Shel Olam. And if that's true, that we're supposed to be acting out of the fact that we love the Ribbono Shel Olam, Akasha comes up, because we have the mitzvah of Avas Hashem, But if we look in it, the Torah specifically mentions all of the schar for certain mitzvos. Indeed, it is quite striking. The second paragraph of Kriya Shema talks about all the physical benefits that we get from doing mitzvos, not only the spiritual benefits, but the physical ones. And moreover, if you look at the Tochacha, it's the same sort of tone that really we're talking about how good it's going to be for you if you are in compliance with the Torah. So it's really quite remarkable. So the Maharal gives two answers. The first one is, requires a little bit of thought and application, but he says when you're Oved, you know, there's a mission in Avos that says, Al tiyu avodim es harav amanas l'kabal pras. So don't serve your master as if you were going to get a pras. Well, even though, says the Maharal, you would serve l'kabal pras to get it, you're completely a tzadik gomor. You're just not, quote-unquote, a tzadik godol. Meaning there are two different kinds of tzadikim. One is completely detached from the concept of reward, and the other one is appreciating the reward. A further one is that, you know, the schar, you know, expecting the schar isn't a problem in and of itself. We know that the schar is going to come, and that's an acceptance of a Kadosh Baruch Hu system. But that's not the reason why we do it. We do things because we love the Ribbono Shel Olam, but it happens to be that we know that this is going to come. And this is the second half of the famous phrase that the Rambam says in Hilchos Tshuva. He says, Osa emes bishvil shu emes v'sof hagmul lavo. He said, and you do what's true because it's true, and in the end, the reward will come. So I would say that that's really two ways to understand what pras means. I believe the Rishonim, one understands that a pras means that it's the reward that we're supposed to get, and the other one, it's a prize. Meaning we believe that we're supposed to get schar, but the prize is like a bonus compensation, which we didn't deserve. And I would add, based on the second point, you know, kind of a third approach, is that sometimes taking is giving. Meaning to say, if my wife makes me a delicious dish and says, here you go, happy anniversary, and I don't take it, say, no, this is not for, you know, this is not, I don't need this to know you love me, it's going to make her feel bad. The Ribbono Shel Olam put in a system of schar va'onesh, and to accept the system b'shtei yadayim in and of itself is and can be an expression of love. Last, there is a Perek Zayin, Pasuk Zayin, talks about the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Klal Yisrael. We became Klal Yisrael, and we became his special nation, but it doesn't say specifically why he chose us. It's not crystal clear why Klal Yisrael, the Chazal, notwithstanding about the rejection of the other nations and everything else, that's really wonderful. But there's more to it. Says the Ramban on the spot, he says the real reason is because we're ready to go through Nisyonos because we love the Ribbono Shel Olam. I like to say to my children, it has happened more than once, more than twice, more than three times, I give my kids a bear hug, and they kind of complain. I say, you know, I say to them, love hurts. And really, that's the truth, is that love does hurt. Love hurts because we're willing to sweat a little bit for the Ribbono Shel Olam. We're willing to push ourselves a little bit for Ribbono Shel Olam. And this obviously dovetails very beautiful with the concept of Ruchoma Odecha that we said in the name of the Meshech Chachma. A second approach from the Maharal in his Pirish on Pirkei Avos is also quite striking. He says, it is completely an Ava She'eino Tluya B'davar. The reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us is it's not dependent on anything. He just does. This is almost like, the parent that just looks at their kid, looks them in the eye, and I know a parent who's, adopted the Hanhaga, at least with one of his children, to try to look them in the eye when they bench them on Friday night and they say, I love you just the way you are. Meaning to say, this doesn't, I have no angle. I have no quid pro quo. I have no anything. It's just because I do. And that's really the most, sometimes the irrationality of it shows its potency. Okay, last thing is our thinking question. There's plenty to do in this parsha, but the thinking question is, we see Chazal tell us, on the one hand, Ein lecha kli machazik tova ela shalom. Shalom is something which is going to hold tova. It is a vessel. But then we have an idea that bracha is only found in something that some way mean ayin and she'eno madud, something that is not, something which is like not counted, not looked at, and certainly not measured. So if that's true, how would we resolve that contradiction? Anybody who's looking for an answer can look in the Pirush of Rav Avram Ben Hagro on the Shmona Esrei. Shkoyach.